Hello, everybody. I'm Matt Seidel, along with Derek Seidel and Josh Trope, and this is Coach Speak. Welcome back to the pod, everyone. We are joined today by East Jackson head boys basketball coach and a former NAIA All-American at Spring Arbor University, Paul Marindette. Coach, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you, Coach, and it's an honor to be here with you guys. Three of some of the best coaches here in Southern Michigan. So it's an honor to be on the podcast.
Hey, where are you right now? Because, you know, we're all in our houses, it looked like, and you got a sweat going. It looks like there's weight machines.
I do.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm in the Trojan Den right now here at East Jackson High, here on Sutton Road. So just got done working out with a kid, and so I'm excited. I love being here.
You notice he said one kid, but he's not breaking the four-man rules like they do sometimes west of Jackson, you know, some of those schools out there. Paul learned the right way at Chelsea that we only do four-man workouts. No, that's right.
That's right.
Okay. All right. I know this, you know, Paul, he looks like he knows where the weight room is, and he's setting a good example for his kids. I know Derek is constantly in the working out over Napoleon. I have yet to work out at Olivet in 9 years, just to throw it in. Josh, are you working out at Lumen Christi these days?
No, I am not. I walk from one side of the gym to turn on the shooting machine. That's about the extent of it.
Oh man, all right. Well, hey, let's get going. Paul, let's start with the East Jackson story. Big story. Obviously you're a big name in this area for all that you did over at Spring Arbor as a player. And, you know, when East Jackson named you their new head coach, that caught a lot of attention. So I guess we'll start, man. Why East Jackson? How did that come about?
Coach, yeah. Honestly, East Jackson, should talk about it a little bit. Well, first of all, just coaching under Coach Trope, that's kind of what brought me into, you know, doing what I'm doing now and being a head coach. Trope kind of motivated me and mentored me to be a head coach here someday. So, you know, the job opened up a year ago. I decided to, you know, continue to coach under Coach Trope and be a JV coach again. I had an opportunity to coach his son and have a really good JV team. So found out the following year, the job opened up again, and I happened to get some experience and, you know, watching teams in the Cascade Conference. I watched Napoleon play a lot this year, was last year, watched Brandon Cook Lake. And, you know, the days that I wasn't coaching, I'd come back here in Jackson and watch the area teams.
East Jackson has been solid, not great in the last 10 years. They win games they should. They don't seem to win games that they're the underdog, and they really can't sustain district runs and things like that. I know that you have great administration over there. I know you had great leadership both in the principal position and former athletic director position, who I think Coach Punches is now your assistant principal, if that's correct. So you have,
yep, that's right.
You have the support from administration. You have a community that wants to win. What is the missing piece? What do you think is the thing that seems to be lacking from your short experience coaching the kids in the summer?
Yeah. Honestly, well, like you said, so last year they had 6 wins. That's the reality. Year before that, they had 2. They've struggled in the past few years, but we have the talent. The talent is here. State of our facility. So I think it's the nicest gym in the conference, to be honest. Small for a D3 school. I don't think it gets much better. But, you know, what they're lacking is just a little discipline, Coach Trope. Whether that's, you know, getting kids on time. You know, we have a thing now which it's Trojan time. If you're not 15 minutes early to practice, you're late. And that's it. If you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. And that's just kind of the standard we're trying to set. It's just kind of the discipline and the accountability and, you know, some of those things like that. So yeah, here at East Jackson, you know, coming from Chelsea, it's a little different. You know, it's not, you know, the kids aren't pulling the parking lots in 2020 Ford Rangers. They're not coming in and, you know, 2020 Chevy Silverados. And, you know, they're, you know, getting dropped off by their grandma and grandpa. And it's a little different dynamic. So I think that discipline and that accountability is what, you know, East Jackson has been missing.
Yeah, Coach. I mean, I'm obviously newer to this area as well over the last few years. And I agree with you in that, like, I feel like there is talent there, and, you know, it's just about kind of putting all the pieces together over there. I know there's been a lot of roster turnover over the last few years, like even from an outsider perspective, like we'd go into games and like, oh, this kid wasn't here the first time we played. Not this kid was here in the first game. Now he's not now. And I think, you know, they actually did a good job of navigating through that the last few years and actually had a few stretches where they really were playing good basketball. So I agree with you. I do think that there is good talent there, and I'm curious to see what you do with it. I'm curious how you felt the summer went. I mean, did you think you guys had a successful kind of start to your regime there, or and how do you feel going into the season?
No, yeah, absolutely. I was really excited with how summer went. We played a lot of games in a short amount of time. I think I kind of, you know, burned them out maybe throughout the middle of June. But for the most part, you know, we had a chance. We went to East Noble and competed with teams with, you know, 2,500 kids in their school. And I was really happy with what I got from our guys, especially from effort wise. So we took the first week just to practice. You know, work on the things that, you know, being a first year head coach, a whole new system, you know, gave the kids some time to adjust. But I was really happy with how the summer went. We played over at the Springport League for a weekend and played some good basketball. And it was a really good summer. We played at the Spring Arbor Camp, had a chance to play bigger teams like Canton and Heartland and even a local team like Northwest. And like I said, we competed, you know, we played a full Northwest team, a healthy Northwest team, and lost by one. You know, for a small school like East Jackson, I was, you know, pretty happy and, yeah, pretty excited with how we did this summer.
So, you know, from what I hear, you were a pretty good player in the state of Indiana, I think, in high school. From what I've heard that through the grapevine, I know you had an unbelievable college career. I got to see you play a couple times, including a methodical win over Lawrence Tech. You guys took it easy on Lawrence Tech. That was nice of you. So, you know, you played in a system in Indiana in high school. You played in the Spring Arbor system. You've coached in the Chelsea system. How is all that? How you take all that, and what kind of system are you going to run? I mean, it's not like you're going to tell us any secrets. We're going to. It's all on Huddle these days. Everybody gets to watch. But what can we expect system wise at East Jackson based on the personnel you have and your pedigree, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was funny to hear the last podcast. I know you guys were talking about, you know, the impact Chope is making over at Lumen Christi. And, you know, he's talking about a mentor role, you know, talking about how he's being in the shadows. And, you know, we had a chance to play him at Spring Arbor coaches, and they looked the exact same as Chelsea. I'm going to be honest. So I give the coach at Lumen Christi, Coach Aldridge, a lot of credit. He seems like a great guy, seems like a great young coach, but and, you know, what's impressive is he's listening, right? I give him a lot of credit. You know, he's listening to a wise guy and Coach Chope, a state championship coach. So I'll say this, look, our system's going to look a lot like your guys' system. So, you know, I'm under the Coach Chope bush or tree and the coaches, you know, so it's a lot of four out, one in. You know, we're going to get up and down and try to score quick. We're going to be gritty defensively. You know, we want to get in guys' to shorts. You know, I think we have the athletes to get up and down with these guys and, you know, defensively, you know, we're going to stay in front. We're going to force tough twos. We're going to rebound. Yeah, we're going to keep guys in front. We're going to keep guys out of the paint. Yeah, just, you know, simple, straightforward basketball. If we can score in the first 10 seconds in the offense, we're going to score. And if not, we're going to get us a good shot. So,
Paul, you're a great leader on the floor. You're a great leader in the locker room. And in the 2 years you were with me at Chelsea, you're a great leader on the sideline. So I don't see that being an issue at all. You know how the game's supposed to be played. I appreciate you, your kind words about, you know, it'll look a little bit like it did with me, but you also knew already how to play the game and your style and things like that. One of the other things is obviously we all know you got to have players, which you're developing, and you do have some good players. And then the last thing to really turn around a program, which we all have done this, you got to schedule appropriately so you can gain some confidence and things like that. Were you able to do that with your non-league schedule this year?
Yeah, you got it. So, you know, there's only so much us coaches can do, right? You got to have the guys. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I believe East Jackson has the guys. I really do.
So what does your non-league schedule look like this year?
Yep. We got Whitmer Lake, Homer, teams at Atherton, which is a Flint area-based team. One of my assistant coaches, his brother is the AD at the school. So we had a chance to, you know, line up with Atherton. Got a chance to play at the Spring Arbor League or the Spring Arbor Tournament, the Shot Clock Classic, which we did last year with Chelsea. We're playing Concord, So another good, nice area school, and Concord's well coached. It's a great, great program over there. Who am I missing? Homer, I said already. Quincy, another team in the IA conference. And who am I missing? I believe that's it.
Yeah, okay, so that's great. So they really let you kind of have some freedom with the schedule there. That's
absolutely
good.
Absolutely.
Good stuff.
Coach, what the other thing, I guess we talk about starting a new program, and I noticed the struggle. It's been a struggle for Derek. It's like one of the things that he's dealt with for all three of his varsity seasons, but trying to put a staff together. What are you thinking about in terms of a coaching staff this year? Not just at the sub-varsity level, but even people helping you on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, so I've been really blessed. I got the head JV coach from last year. He's the all-time leading scorer at East Jackson. His name is Daniel Poole. He's actually will be one of my varsity assistants this year. We're kind of promoting him up to an assistant job. Again, he's a guy who's been around. He graduated in 2017, I believe, here at East Jackson. You know, the kids are familiar with him. The kids respect him. So it's been nice to have him still around. His assistant last year, named Colin Blau, he's also a 2017 graduate. He's helping out the JV football team as well. He's the head coach of the JV football team. He's on my staff. His grandma is my administrative secretary. So she's been great. And they're a long time. Both guys are longtime East Jackson families. They've been around for a while. So it's real nice to have those guys around helping me out. Colin will be the head JV coach. And then most importantly is my assistant, my former assistant up in Chelsea, who Coach Tropez originally hired. His name is John Hanifan, Coach Hanifan. His son just graduated from Chelsea, a three-time all-conference player, playing college basketball at Kalamazoo. But Coach Hanifan, you know, kind of like, I use the analogy of University of Michigan basketball. You know, Coach Howard is the face of it. You know, Coach Howard, you know, we're not called a stat or whatever, but, you know, Phil Martelli is the brains behind it. Phil Martelli is the old wise guy on the bench who, you know, is calling the shots in the background. That's kind of John. It's kind of Coach Hanifan. So he's the wise guy, right? He's twice my age. He's seen a lot more basketball than me, knows a little bit more than me. So, right, surround myself by guys who know a little bit more than me. And I know Coach Cottingham, my former coach at Spring Arbor, used to say, surround myself by good people and get the heck out of the way. And that's kind of what I'm trying to do here at East Jackson. Coach Cook, former coach at Grass Lake, my principal, is a great guy. And Jeff Punches, you know, former AD, is a great guy. And a football coach, a great guy. So, you know, surround myself by them and just kind of get out of the way.
It sounds like you got a good setup there. That's nice to have, you know, a good, I guess, system in place there of people that are helping you out. I'm curious what your fall looks like. You got a lot of guys that play football. I know typically in our conference in the Cascades, smaller schools, you get a lot of multi-sport athletes, which is good. I'm just curious if you've got a lot of that going on over there this year.
Yeah, so we're planning on playing in the fall league here at Jackson College, just staying local here. Coach Johnson reached out just the last week, and so we'll be playing the fall league. Yeah, we'll be down a few guys. Unfortunately, these smaller fortunately, we, you know, our players are playing, you know, football and no.
You said it. Yeah. This is a basketball podcast. It's okay. It's okay to say it.
I did say it, but you know, thankfully, yeah, we'll be playing on Sundays in October, and we'll get as many guys as we can out there. You know, I'm sure it'll be a hybrid of some of the JV guys and some of the varsity guys. So I'm looking forward to it.
Paul, you came to Spring Arbor from Warsaw, Indiana, and here you are 3 years after graduating, 4 years after you're graduating. You're still a local guy. You know, in our inner circle, it's a running joke, but it's in all seriousness, we believe it. We all think you could run for the mayor of Jackson and win. Like, we really feel that way. Like, I don't know anybody that's invested more time in the community and bought in. And in my 6 weeks of living in Jackson, you've gotten me to more local restaurants, breakfast joints, and the in and outs of Jackson and as much as anybody I know. You still haven't invited me over to your house, which, you know, I'm still waiting for that one. But, you know, you really have invested in the community. There's no question. And not only that, but tell the listeners a little bit. You've also even started a business or become, you know, business partners with a former player from Spring Arbor as well. And things are booming right now in the Jackson area.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always said, you know, Jackson's I've always loved Jackson. I think Jackson's a great neutral place. You know, it's not too far from Lansing, not too far from Ann Arbor areas. You know, you can get right up to, you know, Flint, and then all. It's a great great neutral location, not too far from Fort Wayne, not too far from where I'm from. Talking about real quick in business, after I graduated from Spring Arbor, a former teammate and I started an asphalt company here in Jackson. So we've had the opportunity to service a lot of, you know, local schools. You know, this year we've did some asphalt work for Grass Lake Community Schools and Hillsdale Community Schools, Michigan Center, Western School District, and it's been really cool to, you know, meet different business owners in the community, superintendents, director of facility of maintenance guys, and all kinds of different people here in the Jackson community.
I know an administrator at Olivet. Maybe he could hook you up next time they got to do some paving out there.
Absolutely. And I drove by Napoleon the other day, I think off of Brooklyn Road in Napoleon Community Schools, and it looks like they need some workers too. Some work over there too, Derek. I'm not sure if you can find some money in the budget over there. I'm not sure what's going on, but yeah, they got a few potholes for sure.
Oh man. So, you know, I tell you what, Paul, as much small college basketball as I had the pleasure to watch when Derek and even Tony were going through, I always would, you know, when you see a team like the team you played on at Spring Arbor, man, that's just a lot of fun to watch. But there's always guys. There's always – Lord's always had a guy. Spring Arbor had you. Davenport used to have a guy. It's like, what are they doing playing NAI? Like, this guy could be playing Division I basketball with no problem. Here he is at an NAI school and just kicking butt out there. I mean, the game looks so slow to you, everything. I mean, you're an outstanding small college player for sure. When you were coming out of high school, was it Spring Arbor all the way, or what options did you have, and how'd you end up at Spring Arbor?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And especially when you look at our conference too, at Crossroads League, there's just all kinds of different players who are transferring in. I'm thinking of Indiana Wesleyan. You know, they had a kid who was roommates with Josh Jackson, who was a first round draft pick, and he transferred to Indiana Wesleyan, and they got guys, you know, Travion Cruz at Bethel. I mean, a bunch of, you know, D1 transfers to, you know, guys who played JUCO who have no business being in the Crossroads League. So that's something I always thought was pretty intriguing about the NAIA level. But in regards to my high school recruiting, you know, for the most part, Spring Arbor wasn't one of my, you know, top schools. I actually told Spring Arbor no at first, you know, in a way. You know, I said I'm going to hold off. And you know how it is. High schoolers always want the shiny thing, right? Everyone's, you know, those schools are too small. They want the bigger, better. It's Division I or bust. It's all that stuff. So, you know, I let that get to my head a little bit in high school recruiting wise. There's some other schools in the NAIA, you know, Goshen and some other schools in the conference that were recruiting me. But, you know, the school right next to my town, Grace College, Crossroads League, never gave me an offer. So for the most part, I would say under recruited, and Spring Arbor kind of, you know, end up being, you know, one of my only, you know, by far the best option, right? They cared about me. Coach Cottingham was relentless. You know, they came to my last 13 games. I traveled down to Indiana and you know, came to every game, you know, took me out to eat and did all the right things, and they cared. So, you know, it's a lot of times these kids, they don't think about, you know, being loved and being cared. And I think that's what's most important, is finding that fit.
So, little known story, at the end of Paul's freshman year, he had an unbelievable freshman year. I don't know if you're a freshman of the year or not, but you should have been if you weren't. An incredible freshman year at Spring Arbor. Taylor Johnson in Grand Valley State, and this was before the portal and before this was allowed, came swooping in trying to get Paul to transfer to Grand Valley, because everybody realized, you know, this kid could be playing anywhere. Like you said, I always thought he could at least be playing in the MAC and things like that. You turned them down. You stayed with Spring Arbor, and 2 years later won a national title. And there's such a long list of accolades. The podcast would go on for hours, but needless to say, became, you know, one of the greatest NAI players of the decade. So what made you turn them down? What, from the shiny things from high school, what did Spring Arbor and Coach Cottingham make you realize that maybe this was the right place?
Yeah, that was a very tough decision. So, yeah, after my freshman year, I wasn't the happiest. You know, some of the seniors on the team, you know, could kind of rub me off wrong. And, you know, I wasn't as loved as I wanted to be. And I didn't maybe get as much clout as I wanted. So, you know, when Grand Valley came, and it's kind of shiny, right? Living in Grand Rapids, Michigan, is a lot different than living in Spring Arbor, Michigan. So, but it, those things all, you know, really winded down to who cared the most. Coach Cottingham was great. You know, he loved me. I knew he was a great guy. Coach Baum did a great job. I mean, he was a great guy. And Coach Brown. And then, of course, you know, Trope, you know, obviously one of my favorite coaches. I knew he was coming back the next year. So, you know, truthfully, it was the coaches that, you know, swayed me to stay at Spring Arbor. And obviously it ended up being the best decision of my life. So.
I'm curious, you know, I don't know that a lot of people realize this, but that NAI national tournament that you played in, the format of that is extremely unique. The way that they set that up, where the games literally go from what 8 a.m. to, you know, something, I mean, midnight, if they get behind, if you get some overtime games. So what, and then you'll sometimes play back-to-back days or three games in 4 days and things of that nature. So in your guys's championship run, you obviously, you know, it's a grueling stretch and all that. What was your experience with that? How, you know, that's obviously unique, but what did you think of that?
So first of all, Derek, I'm going to throw it back a little bit, you know, back where I'm from in Indiana. All right. You got your sectional, you got your regional, you got your semi-state, and got your state finals. During the regionals, you actually play two games in one day. So once you, you know, you advance, you play three games in a week, you know, to win your sectionals. Then you come back that Saturday and you have your regional finals. You play a game in the morning. If you win, you advance, you play a game at night. So, you know, playing these consecutive games in college, I was, you know, kind of accustomed to it, kind of used to it. I like it. I like it. I think Michigan high school basketball should actually switch and go, you know, the three-game sectional, two games, one day. I think it's very intriguing. But, yeah, I think that's what made it special too, Derek. I know they've kind of changed it now. It's 64 teams. But looking back, I think it just adds a whole nother element, right? You got to stay healthy. You got to keep up. You got to, you know, ice after wins and losses. You got to eat your protein, got to eat right, got to get your sleep, and got to do all the right things. So, you know, that aspect was kind of intriguing, and we embraced it. We liked it.
Paul, just to clarify for our Michigan listeners and even for me, so sectionals is like our district. So you'll play three games in a week, Monday, Wednesday, correct, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, something correct like that.
Yep.
And regionals, you will take the next week to prepare for both games, which you play two on Saturday. That's and right. Then you'll come back and play a quarters, a semis, and a finals, correct?
You got it.
Okay. So again, MHSA, I know you're a huge fan of mine. I mean, I get a lot of compliments from you at all times. And obviously, you know, I'm a huge fan of yours. But one more way, which, you know, this might happen in maybe my grandchild's lifetime, we should take a look at our format. I mean, think about how poorly run our tournament is compared to Indiana, just that example right there. So we have a three-game district in a week, just like Indiana has their sectionals. That makes sense, right? Championship on a Friday or Saturday makes sense. Then the next week, because, you know, of Title IX and things like that, which I'm a fan of Title IX, but in this way, it hurts the game. We spread games out on Monday, Wednesday for the boys for regionals. Girls play Tuesday because it's their quarterfinals, and they have their state semi and final, which is great, you know, and that's good. But think about if we moved our regionals to a Saturday, think about the crowds and the attendance and the buildup we can have. And the actual being able to prepare for your opponent. Instead, we're playing five games in 10 days, if you're lucky enough to do that. And then you don't play for a week. I mean, it's just, you know, some of the things we do. And so I guess, Paul, do you play your state finals the same weekend, girls and boys, in Indiana?
No, we do not. Okay. No, absolutely not.
So you play on Saturday knowing that the girls' state finals are on a Saturday as well. And
every championship game is on a Friday or Saturday. I couldn't understand. I'm going to be honest, that transition championship games on a Wednesday and playing. Yeah, not a fan.
Sorry, Paul. We don't understand it either, but you know, so, let's go back. I got another great Paul Marindet story. I'm going to get in trouble from Coach Cottingham for telling this, but I'm going to tell it anyways. So end of Paul's freshman year, you know, we were struggling a bit down the stretch, and there was some animosity, no question. By the way, the seniors that Paul was talking about, we love now, and they love Paul, and he loves them, and, you know, they all hang out together on weekends and in Fort Wayne and things like that in Grand Rapids. But at the time, there was some animosity and jealousy. You know, the older guys were jealous of Paul, and Paul it needed to be Paul's team, but that wasn't going to happen until some of these seniors left, those type of things. And we're at Goshen, end of the year, we're not going to make the tournament, or if we are, it's a low seed and we know we're in trouble. And coaches are outside the locker room like we do. We're talking, right? And all of a sudden, it's really loud in the locker room. And so Coach Baum ducks into the locker room and we just hear him yelling. And all of a sudden, Coach Brown, Coach Cottingham start running in. And there's Paul and one of the seniors. And they're on the floor going at it right there at halftime at Goshen. And so, Paul, interesting story. How do you handle that if it happens at East Jackson? Or is that a good thing? Was that a good thing that happened? I don't know.
Hey, a little adversity is always good. Hey, I like when my guys get a little riled up. We got to – and first of all, a disclaimer, I just want to say, guys, Spring Arbor University is a great friendly environment. If you're looking to play at Spring Arbor, it's a great place, a bunch of great guys. Coach Cottingham does a great job running his program. But no, hey, I like my guys with an edge, Chope, and I know you did too. I don't mind my guys getting a little chippy and a little bit after each other, right? It's just the right dose of it. Just the
shows right that care. No, I loved it. I knew right then we were going to win with you.
Hey, I got to ask this because as an outsider to Spring Arbor, I've always admired, you know, the culture. I think the way the Spring Arbor program goes about its business, from the way the coaching staff presents itself, you know, you go watch a practice, every guy comes up, shakes your hand, and it's genuine. It's not just crap. And, you know, I mean, like Derek would go, he went to an open gym, just a summer run, and he came back saying, man, these guys are just, they're just different. Like, it's like unbelievable. So it's just the culture. Of course, in the same breath, we're talking about fights at halftime in the locker room. So maybe I'm wrong about the call. I don't know. But I'm going to stay on my question right here. So I guess what I want to know, Paul, you know, coming out of high school, were you a natural fit for the culture at Spring Arbor? Or maybe it wasn't established quite the way it was by the time you graduated? Or did that take some adjusting for you? I mean, did you come out of a culture in high school that was similar to Spring Arbor, or again, did you kind of evolve with it there?
No, yeah, that's a great question, Coach. Very, very similar. My head coach in high school is a very principled man, Christian type of guy. If your jersey isn't tucked into your shorts in practice, you're getting down and doing push-ups. And so, you know, transitioning to Coach Cottingham, I kind of like that. You know, it's kind of the blue collar, the do it the right way type of attitude. So that culture's been there for a while. Coach Cottingham, that's where it starts. It starts with Coach Cottingham, and he's a great servant. He's a servant leader. He's a great man. He's a great man of God, a Christian man. It's a trickle-down effect, right? It starts with him. He surrounds himself by other great men and Coach Brown and Coach Baum, and it trickles down to the rest of us. And, you know, they have their standards. You know, either you do it right or you're not with us. You know, you do it the right way or we got to move on. So it's one of those things. And that culture has been around Spring Arbor for a while now, at least the past 23 years.
Paul, I'd argue in, I don't know, the last 7 or 8 years at least, maybe longer, no one has represented that program as well as Jeff Beckman as a player. And I think it's just so fitting that he's there assisting now Coach Cottingham and looks like probably taking over one day that program, you know, down the road. Obviously Coach is still a young guy. He just ran a marathon, you know, in Traverse City this summer at age 50. So he's got a ways to go, but wouldn't you agree? I mean, if there's anybody that, I mean, because I wouldn't want to follow Coach Cottingham. I mean, that's tough shoes to fill. But if anybody can do it, it's probably Jeff.
Absolutely. I mean, Jeff Beckman is the perfect fit. And I had the chance to come in, you know, into Spring Arbor with him. Just the perfect fit. Man, again, another guy, man of character, man of standards, man of principles. He's a principled man, a godly man. Jeff is he was the best teammate, one of the best teammates I've had, you know, in my playing career. Selfless, humble, just the perfect guy, you know, the type of guy to lead a Spring Arbor basketball program. And, you know, it's fitting and it makes sense that he's an assistant for Coach Cottingham. And I know he's doing a great job and the guys have loved him so far. Yeah.
On that note, you know, it's funny, a lot of guys from that group, at least I don't even know them all. I'm curious if you've got any more. I know yourself, you're head coach now. Like you said, Jeff is, you know, the JV coach, a really important piece to the staff there still at Spring Arbor. You got Brandon Durnell, I know, is now a head coach. Are there any other guys on that team that are head coaches? And I'm curious if there's any sort of competition, or you guys like to give each other, compete with each other, I guess, through a text or whatever over your teams and stuff.
No, yeah. Thinking about Luke Barber, he was previously an assistant coach for Spring Arbor for a year. I know we got a few guys who actually took a different route in their reffing. So we had a few guys who actually came down to Spring Arbor this summer and reffed at a few camps. But for the most part, this is my first year. There'll be some friendly competitions with Brandon Durnell down at East Noble. Like I said, I had a chance to we went down there and played at Indiana this summer with the East Jackson team. So I like a lot of the things he's doing over there. But no, I don't think there's any other guys who are coaching. But, it's no surprise that, there's some guys coming from this program and from under Coach Cottingham who are in the area still coaching.
Well, this podcast is clearly turning into a Spring Arbor love fest, obviously. Oh, God. Man, let me take a deep breath here. But I'm not willing to jump on that love fest bandwagon yet. But there's going to be one key. I'll make the decision after the Shot Clock Classic this year. Now, last year, we were the leadoff game. When you're the leadoff game of a five-game thing, that means they don't have any respect for you. But the Olivet Eagles rolled in there. We played well. But the best thing about that, they gave us the Spring Arbor locker room. And because nobody was before us, nobody was after us. And, man, it's like, so when we come back this year, I think we're like the second-to-last game. I'm expecting the same locker room. So I got East Jackson's playing in that this year, right?
And I got the morning game, Coach. So
I think we're good then, because I know you're going to get that locker room. Your picture's in that locker room, for goodness sake. But I'm telling Beckman, if you're listening, Olivet expects to be. Don't be giving Onstead that locker room.
I think the Davis kid's getting that locker room.
Davis is not coming to Spring Arbor, so you don't need to give him that locker room. Okay, all right, because I'm telling you, then I'll jump on the Spring Arbor Love Fest, but not until then. The jury's still out on that.
All right, Paul. March, first week in March, we have East Jackson, Michigan Center, Grass Lake, Napoleon, and I believe Manchester. Is that correct, Derek? No?
It's just five. It's just five this year.
Okay, so
Grass Lake, Vandercook, East Jackson, Michigan Center, and who am I missing? Us, Napoleon.
It's all Napoleon. Yep. So I missed the Jayhawks. Okay. So Paul, basically it's a league tournament minus Hanover. So talk to me. I mean, that's the goal, right? And that we're not playing for the conference tournament right now. I mean, the Cascade, I don't even think the Cascades has a trophy. We had to talk to Tom Johns about that. Or are you going for, what are we doing? I mean, who's winning this district? What's the plan? Are you going to slow play these guys during the year? Are you going to hold something back? I mean, right, because you got to be eyeing that prize right now, because Napoleon and Center aren't even looking at you. They're already just, Gaddy and Derek are already in there. They're locked into their love fest of their third district final in a row. They're not even counting on East Jackson.
You're right, Coach Ropay. And, I'm looking around at these teams. Look, Coach Seidel here, right, 18 wins. The past few years, 17, 15 plus wins teams. Yeah, Coach Gaddy here, who's won a few district titles, sectional titles. It's been around for a while. Got Corey Ray, what he's done at Vandercook Lake. He's came in and turned the program around in just a short amount of time, right? He's a homer guy. So here I am, Coach Ropay, and I'm the new guy coming into these veteran coaches, great programs, 15 plus win programs. What do I do, right? So I'm going to hold back as much as I can. Look, I'm not going to divulge too much information here on the podcast, but we're going to try to hold our own. Look, Napoleon's got a good team. Napoleon's got a really good team. They got a lot of offensive firepower, and obviously they're well coached. Michigan Center, though young, who lost a few guys, but again, we know what Coach Gaddy has done in the past. I mean, he just keeps, it doesn't stop, right? And he keeps reproducing, and every year they're going to compete. They're going to compete on the defensive end. So, look, we're going to come in. We're going to try to spice a few things up, right? I'm the new team. We're the team with the new coach on the block. So, I'll do, whatever I can to, compete with those big dogs over there.
Yeah, you need a favorable draw. I mean,
absolutely.
Unless something goes sideways, Napoleon and Center will be the 1 and 2 seed. So you need to play one of those without having to play Grass Lake and Vandy, is And I, you know, that'll be a random draw by the MHSA seeding, but yeah, I mean, anything's possible, right? I mean, that's gotta be the goal right now. And then.
Absolutely. It could come March, you know, everything that happened, you know, a few months before it's all thrown away. So.
I tell you, that was one of the great sandbagging jobs of all time for a young coach. Paul, you're way ahead of the game, man. Nice job there. Derek, if you believe any of that stuff he just said, I you know, you were not raised right. I'm just throwing that out there. Don't you just tune that out, man. Anyway, all right, go ahead. Go ahead, John.
So just, you know, in case you lost a little bit of the Sun's love, I get it back for you. Here's an interesting fact about Paul that I have never understood. It's bothered me. It bothers me to my core now, but you two will love. So Paul grows up in Warsaw, Indiana. So when I meet Paul, I'm like, okay, this kid is going to be a great Notre Dame fan. He's going to be all in. You know, maybe he'll like the Cubs. I don't know. Indiana doesn't really have baseball, so he'll like the Cubs or something like that. And I'm trying to figure him out. And football-wise, he's got to be a Peyton Manning guy, a little Omaha, you know, things like that. Paul, talk to these guys. You're a Michigan guy. You're a Lions fan by choice. You weren't even born here. I'll never understand that. I mean, even like the Tigers, you got to talk to us and explain how this happened. And it's unbelievable.
You know, I fell in love with the Pistons back in 2004. And I, you know, I really think that's where it all, you know, that's where it all transitioned. 2004, I became a big Michigan fan. Actually, my whole family graduated from IU and I hate the Hoosiers. I hate Indiana, but there's a team in Indiana I hate more than the Hoosiers, and that's the Fighting Irish. Guys, is there a more delusional fan base than Notre Dame? Is there a more arrogant, delusional, and I mean, those people are crazy. Those crazy fan base, the worst fan base in all of college football, right? Now they got this new coach and supposed to be some player's coach, and they're still independent. Look, they don't want to join the Big Ten. They're scared. I'm tired of
it. Don't knock independent. Oh, that might be independent pretty soon here.
No,
but yeah, I'm a huge Michigan fan. I'm Detroit Lions. I'm a Tigers fan. We were at the Tigers game last week. You know, go blue in and out. And I've had a chance, you know, one of my teammates and my roommate in Michigan was a first cousins with John Teske. So I had a chance to, you know, be at the Michigan games all throughout and kind of be in the backgrounds with him. So go blue.
There we go. That's good to hear.
And looking back real quick, you know, Michigan used to have a bunch of those Indiana basketball players. Coach Beilein used to go down and you know, that's where the talent at. Zach Novak. I'm thinking of Stu Douglas. If you guys remember those guys, you know, Mitch McGarry, you know, Glenn Robinson's even an Indiana guy. Zach Irvin was Mr. Basketball in Indiana. Spike Albrick was a Crown Point guy. So.
And Kim Barnes-Arico is killing it recruiting in Indiana. I mean, her team's an Indiana-based team as well. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, your love for the Michigan teams and the Detroit teams, man, you just jumped up my you're clearly my second favorite coach in the Cascades. I mean, I can't put you number one. You understand that, but you're clearly my second favorite. So all those other guys, forget you. I don't like you guys. That's big time. And your hatred for Notre Dame, that was the deciding factor. I mean, that's just
hold on. Is that not the most delusional fan base? Yes. I think that's the craziest fan base.
You said it perfect.
That's a whole nother podcast. And you know, like I said, I've never understood this part of you. Well, that's a whole nother podcast.
Oh, man.
I could argue the same thing for the Wolverine fans. I mean, but that, like I said, it's a whole nother.
You know what? And I will say that they're up there themselves. You know, I will admit it. I'll say it myself. You know, Michigan fan base can get a little crazy sometimes as well.
Oh God. Well, hey, we better sign off before we offend somebody. So, hey, good. Paul, we really appreciate you. You coming on. This was awesome. We had when we were talking about, we were lining up our guest, when your name came up, man, Josh, he just started nodding his head. He knew this was going to go well. And it did. It was great talking to you. We wish you well this year. We got a feeling East Jackson is going to be relevant again. It has been in the past, and it's taken a little break from there, but I got a feeling you guys are going to be right in there. And that Cascades this year, it's going to be interesting with your guys' increased level of play. And then with four new teams coming in next year, this is really going to be an interesting conference and probably a good time to be coaching in this league. So take care of yourself and be good.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for inviting me on. No, I'm looking forward to coaching East Jackson. I'm looking forward to competing with against Derrick.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it as well.